You are listening to a recording from the virtual event The Power of Solitude: How Artists Can Use Solitude to Creatively Heal Their Relationships. This is the conversation between host Charlene Anders and Kenda Swanson, titled We Heal When We Accept the Unacceptable. Kenda, what is your connection with loneliness?
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlene, that's a beautiful question. And it's interesting. I may have answered that differently a couple years ago than I would today. And that's because there have been some major events in my life experience that have led me to go deeper into what it means to be alone. And I will go into that just a little bit. About 2 years ago, I had a major cardiac event, and I was pregnant at the time with my son, had no idea that I had any issues with my heart or my health or anything like that. And shortly thereafter, and like I said, I was pregnant, I was diagnosed with a chronic heart disease. Couldn't believe it. I was told that I would not be able to do any kind of intense exercise ever again. I was somebody who jogged 6 kilometers every day, even when I was pregnant. I couldn't believe it. So I had to digest this new diagnosis, and then see how I felt. I had so many fears going through me, yet I still feel like I was responsible to take care of myself, my body, because I was carrying a baby inside of me, my fiance, my partner at the time. And he had two daughters that also live with us, and to care for them. So I felt like I needed to be there and be supportive and the rock for everybody in my family. But I also needed to process what I was going through in terms of this grieving and loss of identity. So that was my first experience, I think, my first connection with loneliness. I really felt alone, because even though I had people physically there to support me, I didn't feel like any of them could understand with what I was going through. Then fast forward to I gave birth. I had my son. It was actually a great labor and delivery. Life was good. And then about 4 months into his life, I had another major cardiac event. And I was told at that point that I needed to increase the medication I was on and receive a surgery that would put a pacemaker and defibrillator into my body, so that if I was ever to go into any strange heart rhythm, it would shock me out of it. And not really knowing what I was getting into, I said, okay, let's just do the surgery, because this will be sort of my insurance policy on my heart. I went forward with the surgery. Like I said, not knowing what I was going into, my son was 4 months old. I was still nursing him. And I came out of that thinking, what the hell did I do? I was in absolute so much pain, and I had never had surgery before. So I thought, maybe I'm just weak. And it's interesting, Charlene, I've been on the spiritual path, so to speak, for a long time. And I of course, I know, like, fundamentally, we're not weak, we're strong. And I know that when I need strength, I can get silent and quiet and really connect with my, I guess I'll call it a higher power, for lack of a better word, but that I can draw energy and power when I need it from the universe. I know these things, but when push came to shove, when I really went through this traumatic time, I found it so hard to draw upon all of these things that I studied and knew. Mm-hmm. I was in so much pain. I wasn't able to bathe myself. I wasn't really able to do much of anything. And then I discovered about a week after receiving the surgery that actually I had a collapsed lung as well. So I had to go back in and have an operation to have a tube placed in between my ribs to expand the lung. Now, because COVID had just began, they couldn't keep me in the hospital. So they sent me home with this tube dangling out of my body and said, whatever you do, don't, like, get it infected. Don't but I mean, it was a trying time. And then coincidentally, if you believe in coincidences, this time was actually the time that my fiance and I had planned our wedding. Obviously, we weren't getting married because of the pandemic, and also because I had just had these major health events. So going through the grieving, again, the loss of the wedding, my physical health, now this change, the sudden change in atmosphere with COVID and not having the freedom that I was used to, was another major loneliness episode for me. So I definitely, my connection with loneliness has been such that even though physically I am surrounded with family, friends, within me, my identity felt shattered. I felt very isolated. I felt like really there was no one to connect to or talk to because I didn't even understand what my thoughts were. And there was a part of me, Charlene, that really felt ashamed of the way I felt. I felt like I, with all the spiritual knowledge that I had gained over the years, that I should be stronger, wiser, more fortified in my being, and just feeling like I could navigate this with more ease and grace than I was. I felt like a complete mess. So, and as I had mentioned to you earlier, I really spent this summer trying to figure out what my place was and quite depressed. But this time was very profound. This loneliness that I experienced was profound because the suffering that I went through as a result of that feeling alone was a catalyst for spiritual growth, I think, for spiritual development, because the suffering, I couldn't take it anymore. I knew that something had to shift and change. And physically, externally, there wasn't anything I could do. I couldn't fix my heart. Actually, right after I received the pacemaker and the defibrillator, I started getting shocked by it when I would go on walks. So it's like getting electrocuted. It's really not a fun time. And so I thought, why did I do this? Is this going to be my life? And I'd cry to the cardiologist. He actually referred me to a psychiatrist because he's like, maybe she'll be able to help you. But I totally had faith that she would. And the best thing I got out of talking to the psychiatrist was a 2-hour chat about my life, starting from the beginning of a childhood. And it was a great chat. But then at the end, she said, you know, I don't think you have a psychiatric illness here. I think you're just having an adjustment. She called it an adjustment disorder. But going through all these things and having all of these questions and feeling so lonely was really what facilitated my wanting to go deeper in my spirituality. So I had always, I've heard the saying that you can know something and know about something. I had been a coach, a relationship coach, and helping people love themselves, love their lives, and attract their soulmates. And I had done so much. I felt like I had done some spiritual teaching and with children as well. So much I had done and experienced, yet here I was and I couldn't apply. I didn't really know it. I knew about it. I had studied it a lot. I'd even done a bit of teaching, but I didn't know it yet. And this experience over the past 2 years really showed me what it is to embody the things that I had been learning about. So now I'm really in this process, as many of us are, I believe, coming to know about the things that we've learned in the past, and maybe were just ideas or things that we would read about and say, oh, that's great, or practice some of the time, but not all of the time. Now I'm coming to integrate them into my life situation.
That is such a powerful story. Thank you so very much for opening up like this. There's one thing that you said that is that I've heard over and over again in these interviews. You said loss of identity, and it seems to be a common thread that if you lose the sense of who you are, that is like the recipe for a loneliness that is devastating and that cannot be stilled by anything outside of you. As you said, you lost the identity of you being like this this person who goes running every day. And so there was not much that you could do about that. And I think it is really astounding that you managed to look at this situation and say, okay, first of all, I think we can call it radical acceptance. There's nothing I can do. I can change my heart. Radical acceptance. And then, okay, what is within my sphere of influence? What can I change? And then it only speaks to the depth that you already know yourself, that you know, okay, the only thing that I can change is my mind and how I think about this situation. Let me just congratulate you on that. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
And the other thing that you said is the shame. And you touched on something that I actually have not talked about in all of these interviews, which is we're supposed to be okay with everything. Like, we're supposed to be happy no matter what life throws at us. We're supposed to be think positively and always like make lemonades out of the lemons and so on. And people, in my opinion, underestimate the power of grief and the power of loneliness / solitude. I use them somewhat synonymously. If you want, we can look at your definitions of these words. Mm-hmm. Is the grief that you went through, was it, could you have gotten where you are now, which is a somewhat healed place? Could you have gotten there without going through the grief?
Absolutely not. And I everything that you have just said has resonated so deeply with me. I just have to take a moment to see what I would say next. I think that the grief and the suffering for myself was about honesty with myself and authenticity. I think what you described as always being positive, and many of us so-called spiritual seekers or people who would identify themselves as being on the spiritual path, think it's all about positivity, enlightenment, joy, living a life that is amazing. Life is here for you. Life is always good. Everything is good. But we may fall into the trap, as I have, and I learned that I had been living in this for actually several years, of doing what is called, and you might have heard this term, a spiritual bypass, which is when we don't actually authentically acknowledge how we feel in a given situation. We just tend to do a, like, oh, I feel crappy, but all is well. I know all is well, even if I don't feel all is well. So I'm just going to pretend all is well and move on to the next thing. But we don't gain the wisdom from actually experiencing our emotions, from going through the emotions. There is a very deep and profound awareness that can be gained through the suffering. And you'll meet and you will become acquainted with other spiritual traditions or philosophies or ideas that say you don't need to suffer. And I believe that that can be so, but there are some of us that on a level that we may not be conscious of need to suffer in order to awaken. The suffering, the grief, the feeling shame is a catalyst for what we're here to do, which is to spiritually awaken. And I am one of those people. And I can accept that I need to suffer in order to get to the next level. Now, this may not be true for everyone, and that's fine. This is my journey as an individual human being. This is what I'm going through. And so I think with the grief and the suffering, I felt like, even though, of course, we have a choice, we have free will, we have a choice mentally about how we're going to approach things. In the summertime and after my surgery, I felt like I didn't have a choice. I almost felt like just guided or called to the suffering, to go through the suffering, to go through all the pain, the resentment, the all of the negative emotions. And what's interesting, Charlene, is perhaps a lot of that suffering I was going through was all of the stuff that I had repressed earlier in my life when I began on this spiritual embarkment and And perhaps it was that I was healing or going through. I needed to go through it. And then it was amazing. It was like one day I kind of started to wake up. I think it was probably October. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I'm tired now of just like, hate. I was mad at my partner. I was mad at my baby. I was mad. And I just felt so alone. And then finally it was like, hey, I'm tired of this. And I started to shift mentally, but I was ready. And that's the thing. Unless you explore how you're truly feeling, you'll never know when you're really ready. And so, yes, I think if you are feeling grief, if you are feeling pain, allow yourself to acknowledge that. And you may find that when you acknowledge that, it diminishes. I've heard some people are like, oh, I'm feeling really awful. And they cry it out and they're ready to move on. For me, it was a fairly long period of time, but I mean, and it could be longer, but I needed to be there. And I honored that. And so, yeah, I love that you brought that up, because I think like many of the people that are tuning into this that are interested in spirituality and personal growth and development, there's a tendency to be like, no, I don't want to be negative. I'm scared of the negativity. But guess what? That's part of being a human being. That's part of having this experience. And one other thing that I would like to add is like in this kind of dualistic world that we live in, the physical world, there is suffering and there's pain and there's isolation and there's loneliness. And there's also joy and community and connection. And without the lows, could we really have the contrasting highs? I'm not so sure that we could. So on one hand, you can enjoy those times when you feel connected and you have community. I mean, many of us sort of reflect on the days prior to COVID when we could all get together and hug each other without thinking about it, shake hands, whatever it be, have parties. And then on the opposite of that, there's the loneliness, there's the grieving, there's the feeling isolated, the pain. But can you have one without the other? I'm not so sure that you can, at least not from my experience, if I'm being totally honest. So I think it's all part of it. And we're just learning how to navigate the ups and the downs with more peace in us, knowing that. And as you said, some of your other guests have had an identity crisis as well, we are not these, we are not the lows and we are not the highs. We're having the experience of the highs and lows, but this is not us. Sometimes we think we are those things. We go through pain. We are the pain. You're not the pain. You're experiencing the pain, but you are not the pain. Just like you are not necessarily the high either. You're experiencing it, but it is not who you are. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
It does more than that. Thank you. Yeah. And let me just add to that. You are not your loneliness and you are not your shame. I think that is so important to really separate that, because talking about loneliness a lot is like, there is so much shame and people feeling somewhat defective, like really defective in the core of their being. And if you manage to separate, I am not my loneliness. I feel lonely, but I am a perfectly imperfect human being. I think a lot of this shame would be lifted. Do you want to talk a little bit about what it is you do in your work as a coach?
Mm-hmm. So admittedly, since I had my baby, I haven't done much coaching. Not formally, but I mean, I think those of us who study and do spiritual work and dive into it, we end up mentoring in one way or another. So currently the most work that I'm doing is actually in the podcast that I share with my friend Claudia, who's a business coach actually and a lifestyle coach. And we have a podcast called The Art of Living, where we both interview people who are spiritual gurus or people who have a certain niche that they work in with regard to spirituality and personal development, so to speak. And we also have these wonderful candid conversations about topics like loneliness, suffering. It sounds bleak, but it's not. About our own personal experiences with the art of living, with the things that we go through in our lives and how we grow as a result of them and through them. So that is really my primary work that I've been doing since I had my son 18 months ago. Prior to that, I was a love and relationship coach, and I facilitated programs where my clients would come to me, and I would help them with their learning how to be okay with themselves, to, I don't want to say love themselves, because I think that's kind of a lifelong, like coming to love yourself unconditionally is kind of a lifelong venture. You're not going to do it in like a 21 day program with me, but, sort of do these exercises that got them to feeling comfortable with being alone. So this fits perfectly actually with the topic. And then once they got there, realizing that they came to me thinking that they wanted to attract their soulmate, romantic partner, their lover. And then I wanted to leave them to leave with a feeling that actually they didn't really need that. Now they felt okay with themselves. And then the partner comes. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to report that most of them did get into relationships. So that's wonderful. But that wasn't the point. The point was to help them identify that they have everything that they need to be comfortable with life and to love life within them, and that they didn't actually need the partner. So that was something I did that I loved. And I will go back to that at some point. But right now, my focus has shifted a bit. But I'll always be doing this kind of work because it enriches me and I learn so much through it. So
yeah, and that is actually how I found you. I found the podcast and I thought it was wonderful. And then, I mean, I do hope that you go back to coaching one day, because yeah, I think you have so much to offer. And I love, I mean, it's basically what this whole event is about, like to go inside yourself, changing from loneliness into solitude, finding that there is everything that you need inside of yourself. And once you found that, it's so interesting that you said as soon as they found that they actually don't need a partner, the partner is there. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know what, Charlene, I think often in life, whether you're looking for a romantic partner or a lost shoe, it's often when you let go of the attachment to this thing and realize that you don't need it to complete you, and you stop identifying with it, that it comes to you, and in its own timing, not your timing. You let go of the control and you be happy with what is. And you use the word acceptance earlier in our discussion, and I love the word radical acceptance. Beautiful. You radically accept what is. You accept the unacceptable. I'm not in a romantic relationship. I'm alone. Can you accept that? Can you accept that even if you're unhappy with the fact that you don't have a romantic partner, can you accept that you're unhappy? And if you can accept the unacceptable, that's radical acceptance to me. And that's when those things are drawn to you as like a magnet. I really do believe that. So
I just realized something, and radical acceptance does not mean that I like it. Mm-hmm. I just have to accept it.
Yes.
I don't Amen. Have to like it. It's yeah. It's a good thing yeah. we're having this conversation. Yes.
Charlene, years ago, right when I started my coaching business, a friend of mine said she was going through her own personal stuff. And she said, you know what? And it was pretty traumatic for her. And she was really heavy in the grief, but sometimes the most wise things that we could ever say come out of being in that grief, because it's real for us. I really think because we're exploring the depths of who we are when we're in these dark nights of the soul, you know? And she said to me, you know, Kenda, maybe I just need to accept the unacceptable. And I loved that. I have used that ever since. I say it all the time. I don't even talk with her anymore, actually, but I'll carry that with me until the end of time. Accept the unacceptable. And I think there's just so much power in that and release in that. It gives me like this wash over my body when I hear that accept the unacceptable, just of peace, of knowing, oh, that I can do. And sometimes yeah. your ego's like, no, you can't. But then eventually you just say it a few times and you're like, yeah, I can accept this. And what's unacceptable may be more or less different in different moments. Some days it'll be, oh, I can't find this item that I'm looking for, and that's unacceptable to me. Can I accept that it may be gone forever, which is unacceptable? And some days it may be a bigger thing. Like I'm grieving the loss of a person or being alone or the state of my life, you know? So it can be different, but I love that.
I love that as well. And I definitely, I will title this interview, Accept the Unacceptable.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. Yeah. It's a perfect title. Mm-hmm.
What is for you the difference between loneliness and solitude?
This is a wonderful question. And actually, my giveaway or my that I'm providing, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. So it's perfect. So loneliness, isolation to me is it has a sort of some maybe some negative connotations. To me, solitude is more of a choice, and it's something that we can do to recharge. It's more of a neutral word for me, solitude. Mm-hmm. So being in solitude is actually a very powerful practice, I believe. It's something that all of us need to create for ourselves, to have alone time, so to speak, to allow ourselves to, like I said, recharge, to come to know who we really are, which, like I said, is not the highs and lows. I'm not, it's funny on people's Instagram bios, you'll see I'm a mother, a runner, a friend, a sister. Well, actually you're not, you do all of those things. You're having all those things in your life experiences, but you are not those things. When we spend time in solitude, we can come to understand what we really are and why we're not those things. But only through being in solitude can we have that sort of awakening or awareness. And so for me, what that means is being alone. Sometimes maybe it's not possible for you to be entirely alone, but not to be in conversation or communication with others, but to go for a walk in nature, meditate, do something that you enjoy, whether that's artwork or whatever it be, maybe listen to some music, and just kind of go within, feel your body, explore maybe even your thoughts and let them go. And that for me, you come to know, and you're like, okay, I have this body. You come to know what it is to be conscious, what it is to be present. Feel your senses, smell the air, feel the air. And you come, you're having all these sensations, and you realize what you really are, which is what I believe is the consciousness or the presence. And you realize that every individual, every human being that you interact with is also has their own consciousness or their own. And I think the further you go into that, the more you start to realize that actually we're all one, we're connected, because we all have consciousness. And so fundamentally, we're all the stream of consciousness. But you can only come to really, I'm describing this, and I'm realizing that my words are probably not articulating what I really mean, because it's difficult to describe. But you can only kind of have these experiences through being in solitude. And so what I also mean by that, Charlene, is not just to be physically not with talking to other people and not no TV or distractions, but it's to remove yourself from the outside, the physical material world, which is very distracting and heavy and full of stuff. Some of us go years of our lives without really being in solitude and really coming home to ourselves, because we're constantly distracted. And then one of the repercussions of that is we don't sleep well. We feel like we've lost ourselves. We have these identity crises because we're attaching to everything in the outside world. So that's one of the repercussions. That's why we come home to ourselves. That's why we spend time in solitude. Now, being lonely is when when I said it has negative connotations, it's when being loneliness or isolation is a result of, at least mental loneliness, of being attached to external things, whether those are people or things, and then having them taken away and feeling a loss of sense of self. And so that loss that you feel the emptiness that you feel is the pain that you feel is the loneliness. And it's an egoic experience. I don't think it has anything to do with the absolute truth of who you are, but it can be very painful nonetheless. It can also be a catalyst for you to say, okay, so I'm physically alone and I don't like it, but can I accept the unacceptable? Can I get to a place of solitude with this? So it's really just a change in perspective, the difference between loneliness and solitude. Loneliness can be used as an opportunity. So you're physically alone or something's been removed from you that you really love. Can you shift your mindset around it and use this as an opportunity to get quiet and to go deep and to discover more about yourself? So I think it's another edge of the coin. Yeah. I hope that answers that.
Again, it does way more than that. Thank you so very
great.
Much.
Absolutely. I'm happy about that. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful conversation it is. Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah. Great minds think alike, hey?
You mentioned that you have a free gift for our wonderful audience. Mm-hmm. What is it?
So I have, I guess you would call it like a PDF booklet. And it explains the benefits, I guess, of it explains how to be in solitude, not loneliness, solitude, and the benefits of being in solitude. Why? Like I never considered, but the reason I think it's, I'm really excited about it. And I think it's wonderful for this time is because a lot of us feel like we've been forced into maybe loneliness, but solitude, or, you know, we're not allowed to, depending on which country you're from, you're not allowed to have engagement with other people, mm-hmm. not allowed to go to church or to your community or whatever it is that you do. And so we've been forced into these situations where we really do feel alone. How can you make the most of that time? How can you deepen your spiritual development? If that's something that you're interested in, what practices can you do? So I have some practices for people, some recommendations, and just explaining how powerful this period can be if you want to make it that way for yourself, how refreshing it can be to come home to help discover who you really are, and to come to terms with maybe some of the things that you haven't been dealing with because you've been distracted all of this other time. And yeah, so that's what I have to offer. It is a PDF document. So yeah, it will be lovely. And I think people will enjoy it and hopefully get something out of it as well.
I'm sure they will. It sounds great. And I'm going to have a peek for sure.
Yeah, great. Well, I'm glad. I want to honor you and thank you for not only inviting me to speak and interviewing me, but for putting this together and taking the energy and attention to address something that is so important in this world that we're in today, that feels in many ways very separated and divisive in terms of where our perspectives are on how we're dealing with the COVID pandemic, the crises, and the government regulations, and just everything. The world seems a bit insane. But you're doing something that is very sane and is very powerful and has the ability to connect us in a way that we didn't know, people from all over the world that we didn't know maybe we could be connected, and to help us realize that we actually are more similar than we are different, even though we may have different views. Loneliness, isolation, solitude are all human experiences that you can go through. Doesn't matter what your take on the COVID vaccine is or where you stand in your compliance to the government regulations. It doesn't matter. We all have these experiences because we're all humans. And I think by you doing this, you're really underlining that we are similar. We are more similar than we are different. And it's important for us to understand that at this time. And it's going to help with the consciousness of the world and the awakening of the world. And it's a wonderful thing. So I just want to add that. And I'm really pleased that I got to be a part of it in this way. So thank you.
I thank you. It's like this typical, I am getting so much out of this that I like when you thank me on top of that, I want to shake it off and say, no, I'm not worth your thanks because I'm feeding off this. But okay. I hear and feel your thank you. And I can just say it's I mean, this is only possible because I have speakers like you. Mm. And so it's a win-win. And then the audience is there. So it's a win-win-win.
Yes, absolutely. Win-win-win. I love that.